All right. Welcome. Man, excited that each of you would come and be a part of this breakout session. My name is Chris McFarland. I have a business called McFarland Crew. It is a consultancy of leadership strategy and execution. And, so I just want to kind of share a little bit about who I am, because, you know, maybe you've come and I know it's in the book and stuff like that. But, born and raised in South Dakota, and so the Lifelight crew, a bunch of friends, and Rob, we got some South Dakotans? Huh?
Lifelight, yeah.
Where?
Lifelight.
Lifelight? Yes, okay. So, like, I grew up on a farm about 3 miles from where they put that festival on for years. Man, I tell you what, some of the farmers would get so ticked over there because their cows would be running all around. You guys are so noisy, talking about Jesus all the time, and, oh, man, cats and dogs living together. But nonetheless, where I'm from, and so had an intention to take over my family business. My dad and uncle had a plumbing and heating wholesale company, and God radically shifted my life, and it moved me into this space of pursuing that calling, and ultimately it intersected my life with Luis Palau. And so in 2003, I joined the Luis Palau team in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and became a church relations associate for them, and by God's grace, that grew into becoming a director. I went on and I directed in Orlando, Nashville, Tennessee, here in Portland, Oregon for 08, down in San Diego, California. And in 2010, I joined an evangelist named Nick Hall, and I became the executive director of his team, and for the last 8 years was executive vice president, and then the director of things like Together 2016, Together 2018, Pulse Twin Cities, all the events that Nick did. And so my 15 years that are past here are all in this scope of leadership of teams that God uses to accomplish what he's doing uniquely in a city, in a time, in a space. And so I've made a lot of mistakes. So if you want to ask about those, that's probably where the greatest learnings are, for sure. But nonetheless, it's been a real privilege and a gift to be at the heart of that. And I know that each one of you, God has given you a passion, a vision, a trajectory for what you're called to do. And so I hope that I can help you, you know, with that today. I'm going to do some Q&A after a bit. I also want to try and maybe do a role play or two. And what I mean by that is like we'll real time a session as fast as we can on some of the work that maybe you are doing, and analyze it quick. And so it would be super brief, but I'm hoping that we can do some of that and advance even what your vision is. And so with that, I'm gonna just kind of keep blazing, but again, a little bit, my wife there, top left, been married 20 years. She did not think we would be going into ministry. So anybody else in that boat where you got a spouse that was like, that's not what I signed up for? Yeah, that was her. But by God's grace, there she is. We have two kids, Elle and Lincoln. They are 8 and 9. I tell you what, as parents or just in general, about 2 seconds later, my daughter had the biggest meltdown ever. That was quite the memory. But we still had a fun round of golf after that. We cleaned it up. So anyway, the idea today is that God has given you a vision. And that vision takes leadership. You have to build strategy around it, and you have to execute it, right? And we do that all inside of prayer and faith and what God has called us to do. And it's that juxtaposition of both the fact that God said go, and what can we do but say yes to that, and then also operationalize it with a team and the right resources to elevate it to levels that are significant and of great magnitude. My personal mission vision, apart from my business, is that I really want to see a conversation about Jesus in every space around the world. And how does that happen? It doesn't happen because I have any ability to do that apart from working collaboratively, but from a leadership perspective and organizational perspective to elevate the work that God is doing in our world today. And I would say there's an acceleration of that. And so some of that comes from what I'm working with right now. I'm working with the Send, an event that will be in Brazil. They'll have one in KC. They just had one in Orlando. CYC, a group doing an event in Kansas City for 100,000 young people, God willing, next summer, and some others, our friends, you know, from many festival groups, and all of you are here, but it's significant. And so one of the first things I would say is that all of this work is really hard, and it's never about the event or the platform. It's about what God does collectively to elevate that, because that's where the message then goes to the hearts of the people that are standing in front. And that's what we really want. And so I don't want to just key in on events. I do want to key in on the fact that the impact is greater when we as leaders step into the lives and the culture of what we're doing. And so to that end, quick story. Some of my bros that I've run with are here from Pulse. In 2016, we did Together on the National Mall. How many were there? It's a few back table and a lot not. That's all right. That's good. The storyline of that is that the challenges were certainly significant, but that the government shut us down at 4 o'clock. You wouldn't expect that necessarily in America. Did I anticipate that? I had no stinking clue. I did not see it coming. I was not necessarily prepared that they would shut us down. But what was prepared is a team who was ready to navigate the challenges that were in front of us. And so what we did is we restructured after they had got done calling me to the command center saying, we're going to shut you down at 1600. And I argued all I could, short of getting arrested. And we went back and we had two choices: fight the police and say, heck with you, we'll keep going, or to actually honor the authorities and to close at the right time. And so under Nick's leadership and under what was going on, we decided to close at that time, though we knew it was their fault for not adequately preparing for what we told them would happen, and our team navigated it with professionalism, with a class and an excellence that then caused breakouts of worship, I believe, and of prayer that was ongoing through that night. Never would have scripted it that way. Did it suck? Yeah, it was so hard. Do we believe that God did what he wanted to do? We really do. Like, cut 6 hours of your program out. You still think that God did what he wanted to do? Man, I wrestled with that. But he did. You know, and it's tough and it's still emotional. Like, I darn near want to go to tears. Like, now I'm like, dang it, we had more. You know, but the reality is, man, we saw God move. And so he is asking for your faithfulness. And we're going to talk a little bit about the problems. But a big part of that, and the reason I share that story, is to say, access the adrenaline. Access that passion and that zeal that God has given you. And really, there's some outlines, hopefully we had close to enough at least, but the idea is that you're not always going to be at your peak. Access your adrenaline as you move through the process of what God has called you to do in ministry for whatever work he has you doing, so that you can use those peaks for the times when your energy drops. And that can be physical, it can be spiritual, but ultimately prepare in that way. And a next piece I would invite you to consider is to look at yourself and do this daily. How are you doing spiritually? How's your life? I really appreciated what Greg said this morning about just your family, whatever that looks like for you. Married, not married, doesn't matter. What are your relationships looking like right now? Why do I say this about leadership? Because relational nutrients are a necessity for us to survive as leaders, brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't neglect the relationships and expect to be the leader God has called you to be. And so I just invite you to consider that. What does it look like in your work daily? And how does it advance in your life? And another piece that I would say is a part of accessing the adrenaline is, what's your culture look like? Whether you have 2 people, 10 people, 50 people, what's the culture like? Is it open? Is it honest? Do you provide good feedback? Are you able to have conflict? And when I say conflict, I don't mean like in your face yelling at each other. I mean, can you face into the problems together, discuss good ideas, walk out and go grab a greasy burger? Because you love each other and you're walking in those types of ways. And in ministry, sometimes I think we forget the fact that we should be arguing about those types of things. We should really press into that. We want to like, oh, it's all good. I'm so blessed. I'm not even stressed, right? All these whatever like that, you know, it's just those types of things. It's like, no, God wants to press into that and to face some of those things. And so just look at your culture every month. How's the team doing? How are people navigating the challenges? Are they elevating when situations or problems arise? And so pay attention to that. I mentioned a little bit, just kind of the energy side. We want incremental increases in our external energy that just take us forward. And so that's, what are the other things that are circumstantially helping advance our mission? And ultimately, I just say adrenaline comes from connection, comes from attitude and effort, and it spurs us towards these next steps. And so one of the things that I think is significant about that is that it's coming through, again, relationship, and also then excelling through our efforts. So it's a key and critical piece, and I just invite you to access that, use it, leverage it whenever you can. I'm a big Miracle fan, 1980 hockey team. Any fans? Huh? A little bit? All right, I got three clips. You're going to see them all, but this is one, and then I'll touch on it.
Now, there's a right way to do this kind of thing, and this is not it.
I know you got a job to do, and if I was in your shoes, I'd probably be saying the same thing.
All right. Let's go upstairs. We'll help piece together a hockey team. All of us, together.
Walter, that's just not going to happen.
Do you realize what the AHA went through to put this thing together? The best amateur players in the country on the ice for a week, not just the day.
I didn't ask for that because I already know my team.
How do you know my team? Those kids haven't been on the ice for what, maybe a couple of hours.
Walter, every one of those boys was chosen for a specific reason. I've studied film on each and every one of those boys. I've seen them, I've watched them, and I've coached a lot of them. And the ones I haven't, I've spoken with our coaches and scouts in the area. Now, I know best what I need to compete, and the team I've chosen is it.
What am I supposed to say to the advisory board, the committee?
Tell the truth.
This puts me in a hell of a spot. Hell of a spot.
They hired me to do a job. I'm trying to do it.
All right. I'm going to back you, but I sure as hell hope you know what you're doing.
So, kind of the point is that in 1980, the Russians had continued to beat, obviously, the U.S. in hockey, and so they bring in Herb Brooks. He's hired to coach a team. And I can't even imagine all the people that have opinions about that. Anybody have opinions about your work that are actually talking to you about how you should do it? A few? A lot of giggles and like, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. You know? Like, there are present miseries, and I want to just voice that and affirm that you all have them. We all have them. They aren't necessarily bad. Some of them are, you know, but the reality is take a hard look at your present misery, meaning what are you struggling with from relationships? What are you struggling with ministry from your finances? What are you struggling from your strategy? Is your culture in a tough spot? Are people not getting along? Do you have to make decisions that are potentially really hard, both on the heart but on relationship? And look at those things because they're telling you something. They're giving you an indicator as to what might elevate your work. And so the reality of these miseries is that they're a teacher for you. They really can teach you something and show you what other steps you'll be able to take in the future so you don't have to actually experience and go through that again. And one of the things that I know I have been guilty of, and I don't know if this is you, so you put yourself here if you want or not, but sometimes it's a challenge and we don't actually look at the fact that we need to critique and potentially be negative about what is happening. And when I say negative, I don't mean abusive, right? Let me be clear about that. Negativity does not mean to knock down or bring harm to another person. It means to take a critical look at what is going on, because sometimes it takes that analysis to actually then elevate us again. And from leadership standpoint, if you aren't doing it as a leader, who's doing it? Who's actually paying attention to that? The others are just experiencing it. But you as a leader have to look at it and you have to do something about it and pay attention to that. And so take a hard look at your present misery. Don't necessarily stay on it. do something about it, but do look at it. Let it be a teacher. Let it show you what direction you should be going and to advancing. And I would say do that in both personal life, do it in relationships, do it in the work side of things, in the ministry side of things, but do look at it. And then as you go through that, address self-image. You know, we want to be resilient. We want to bounce back. We've all faced both spiritual warfare. We face challenging relationships possibly at times. But address your self-image. How do I build into resiliency so I can do that? Sometimes we do it through other friends, and we allow them to actually absorb the fact that I need to talk sometimes. Like, man, if I go to Josh, I'm like, Josh, I am struggling, man. And be like, dude, that sucks, but I'm with you. I tell you what that does for me is it just elevates my ability to actually absorb the challenges. And the reason that I'm bringing this is up because this room is full of leaders. And you know who the hardest person is on you? Yourself. That's right. And there's nothing new about that. We know that, so let's talk about it. The reality is you're the harshest judge of what you do. And I would say, what does it look like to give yourself grace as a leader so that you can pour into your team? It doesn't mean don't struggle. You're going to. But it does mean, what does it look like to remove that judge? And so, like, one of the things that I would just point out, and I've got it on the notes, is the harsh judge, it just kills resiliency. And, you know, when I was thinking about it and kind of walking through this, it's like, what are your three negative self-statements? Like mine? That hit me, just to be vulnerable with you for a minute. It's like, I get into certain situations, and even sometimes, like, I'm coming out here and sharing with all of you who are accomplished leaders, and I look at it, and I'm like, what do I have to offer? You know? And it's like, this judge, what am I going to give? What am I going to do? A second one that's really hard for me sometimes, like, man, they do it so much better than I do. I just like their way more. And then a third one that I personally sometimes like, man, you're just not smart as the rest, Chris. You don't have all that knowledge. You don't have all of that. And it's like that judge creeps in, and it's such a lie from the enemy. And so the reason that I think I would suggest you writing yours down is because you can then recognize him. And when those thoughts enter your heart or mind, remind yourself that you were created in Christ's image for the work that he set forth before you. And you negate those things. Because the truth is, you have what God has given you to advance on the mission that you're on. And so it's important to pay attention to that self-image. Even in today's society more than ever, right? We see suicides, things like that. It's ridiculous. It's an enemy who wants us to think we're worth nothing when we're worth everything, and that God has uniquely given you a leadership role and position that he wants you to live out. So that's something I would just say, look at it, but only look at it for the sake of recognizing the fact that that is not who God made you to be. And then move into the fact that he has created you as a leader and somebody who can advance. The next piece is really, as you think about where you're going to head, is to set stretch goals. And the reason I say this is that as leaders, we'll always be setting benchmarks. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? It's an event. It's a financial marker. It's a team size. It's a structure. It's whatever it might be. What is your stretch goal? And there's two things about this. One, if you don't have a goal, then you are essentially moving along in the work you have without the intentionality that God has for you. Because again, if you want your vision that God has placed in your heart to become reality, there are goals to that. If you don't have them, then you are just in that space. You're not advancing as God would have intended for you to do. Stretch goals are something that are achievable. Maybe not right now, but you can actually see that that would be possible. Maybe some special things have to happen, but it's a risk and not a gamble. What do I mean by that? Taking a risk means that I've calculated it out. I know that I can get to a certain place, possibly. A gamble is like blind, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Who knows? You know. And so that stretch goal is taking a risk, saying, I'm gonna leap for it. You know, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for this advancement in my ministry. I'm going to go for this individual because, man, I think they would complement my team, whatever it might be. And I would also just invite you to consider, don't go towards overwhelming goals. And that can be something where it's like, I want, you know, pick it out of the air. I want to have everybody on the earth to drink a smoothie at the same time. I don't know, some stupid like that, right? But the point is, like, don't make it so overwhelming that there's not even a chance to achieve it. Take risks. God's created us to take risks, and He's going to meet us in those moments, in those times. But don't make it so overwhelming that your team can't even grasp it, they can't advance it with you, or you yourself feel burdened and like you failed, because the enemy will lie to you about that. So think about your stretch goals and what is out there. Next part is just to assemble relational, informational, and other resources. I am the biggest fan of the relational resources first. Why? Because I believe that God historically likes to use people for moments where He's uniquely doing something significant. And I think that looks different for each ministry and team, but I'm sure that even as you are here at NGA, you see the fact that God has given, you know, some skateboarders, He's got, you know, just different groups of people that are going wherever. Like, I say skateboarders because, like, I don't skate, you know? Like, I'm not going to go do what Tim Byrne does or Sumner or whatever. Like, but the reality is relational resources. And one of the things that I think is just critical around that is looking for the right players. And so here's another clip. I want you to check this out. This speaks to me about a team. And as you think about your team, I want you to just kind of consider this. I'm going to stop it right there because I think that's the point. I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. One of the things over my 15 years is I've probably hired 100 to 150 people easily into campaigns for Luis or for Pulse. And one of the things that I always ask is, do you feel called to this? Or what is your calling? Or some form of that question. Why? Because once you step in to these types of things where God has given you a vision and a mission and a trajectory, if you aren't prepared, you're going to get your butt kicked. So excuse the phrase, but the reality is there is an enemy that is waiting to devour. Again, just like Greg was saying this morning, man, he grabbed a hold of that lion. He's prowling around. He wants to destroy. And I have seen that happen, and maybe you have as well, where people come into it, weren't called to it, looking for a job, and all of a sudden it hurt your team, or it hurt your work, or it otherwise demoralized the rest, or, you know, you guys could fill in the blank, I'm sure. But the idea is, I am looking for the right players. A different part of this movie talks about all-star teams failing because they rely solely on the talent of a single individual. None of the work that we do was ever meant to be done alone, I believe. It's meant to be done in a collective effort and fashion for a greater impact. So you need to pour into your team, look for the right team members. Don't just go out and get hired guns, though there may be times when you contract certain people and you do that, and I would suggest maybe that is fitting because every campaign I've done that as well. But when it comes to that core staff, I want to know that they're called to it, that they feel passion towards it, and are ready to go after it. Because as soon as they say yes, the war is on, and they will feel it. And so there are many stories about people who start into this and all of a sudden they experience it. And so to that end, we want to be pruners and not hoarders. The idea is, how are you grooming both your team? Because the better that the team is, as far as spiritual matters are concerned, as well as professional acumen and things of that nature, the more effective your impact is going to be. And the excellence is going to elevate. And I would suggest that as we do things with excellence, that is a spiritual act of worship unto God. And so we as leaders, as we access who we are, our vision, and we start to pour into others, we want to prune, meaning we want to pour into the people. We want to help them advance on who God has even made them be. And one of the things that is also key to this is that you want to look at pruning things that don't elevate your core mission and vision. Because oftentimes, for the sake of growth or more, we'll grab hold of something else and then we'll actually try and advance that, when in reality, that's not part of our core mission. And instead, we're trying to do all of these things versus staying focused. And that is where trouble can also creep in. And we as leaders have to steward that. It is so hard in our space to say no. Anybody agree? We don't want to say no. I hate saying no. And people don't like hearing no. You know? It's challenging. But if you don't prune, you will eventually find that your core vision starts to fade. And we don't want our vision to fade. We want it actually to sharpen, to accelerate, and to grow. And so pay attention to what you need to prune. Maybe you need to prune and rebuild. Maybe you just need to take time with your team and pour into them. I don't know what that might be for you, but what could it look like? And so as you do that, just stay focused on your core. Identify and plan for obstacles. I guarantee you, any event I do now, I will make sure that the authorities are listening to what I have to say. You know? Why? Because they shut me down at 4 o'clock because they didn't prepare for the crowd I told them was coming. Could I have done much about it? I think I could have done more. Wasn't ready for that obstacle. It hit me. Our team adjusted. We achieved what God had called us to do. In the flip side, I won't let it happen again. You know, I will aggressively prepare and address those obstacles to ensure that we can do what God has called us to do. Now, sometimes it will shift and God is a part of that plan. I get it. The reality is, I want to be able to adjust with those shifts. And so plan for obstacles. They will be there. They are coming. Sometimes they're financial. Sometimes they're external. Sometimes they're internal. But they will come. Give your time to process, think through, and forecast what they might be. And then after that, don't worry about them. Prepare your team and go. Because as you go and you advance, and you've spent time pouring in, then you can essentially handle them when they stare you in the face. So there isn't a problem out there that basically should ever concern you or worry you. It's just a matter of how we're going to navigate that obstacle. And there isn't anything our God can't tackle and use our teams to do in these contexts. And so just invite you to think about that. And then down into the real nitty-gritty from leadership. This is something that I am a huge fan of and strongly suggest, is that you need to calendarize both your work, your life, and the way things go. And I'm not saying to be overly structured, because in my opinion, the more that we have a plan, the more freedoms I actually have. Why do I say that? Because then you're all structured to this time and that. It's because if I know what's going on, I have the freedom to use everything else to my disposal. And so if you also don't put something on the calendar, it doesn't exist. It doesn't have a point at which you will touch it. And I find that true almost every day. Like, I was sending an email today, and it's like, yeah, we'll get on that, we'll review that document, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I better put that in my calendar, because I don't know when I'm going to do that, you know? Like, and I don't know if that hits you, but that definitely is something for me. And so I just invite you to consider how you map those things out. Now, whether you use an assistant to do it, whether you use your team to support you, I don't know. I would suggest that, you know, at certain points, that's something to consider as leaders, but make sure that it's there and use it to leverage your freedom to do what only you can do as a leader, because God has called you uniquely and specifically, and you need to delegate the rest. Okay? Don't be afraid to give things away. The more you entrust your vision with other people, you can get hurt. I'll be honest about it. But the reality is, you can also accelerate into new arenas that God has you and is preparing you for. And so, basically, conclusion, this is kind of final video here. I think kind of inspiring, so I hope it inspires you a little bit. This is a final speech.
Great moments are born in great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight. That's what you earned here tonight. One game. If we play them 10 times, they might win 9. Not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
To me, that represents the fact that you're sitting in this room today. Part of this moment for you is that God has given you a vision that you need to turn into reality. And that is even just this flow of the leadership side of things, where it's access the adrenaline, pay attention to what you're struggling with. Don't let it overcome you, but instead analyze it so that you can address those challenges, you can address those harsh judges, maybe in your mind, maybe from outside, and you can advance on it. You put your plans together. I believe that we are living in one of the greatest times to see God move in our day. There is an acceleration through a generation to see the gospel proclaimed. And so with that, I'm going to just open it up to questions and answers. You know, or any sort of feedback. You can ask whatever you want. I'll do that for a little bit. And then I would actually like to, if there ends up being, you know, one or two of you that we can use this process real quick. I can model it in whatever your vision is, and we could have that be seen as a plan by the group. And so if somebody's going to be up for that, you can be thinking about that in the next kind of 10-ish minutes or so. We'll do some Q&A. and then we'll go from there. So I'll just pause, but move into, that was the conclusion, but Q&A. Any questions you might have? I'll give it a moment. I'm okay with silence.
We, I'm founder and president of New Fire for Christ. We have ministries in 10 nations around the world. We'll talk all about that. But we've discipled over 100,000 people just in one country. We've got a pretty good sized ministry. But our difficulty has been in finding a good CD. We've had one before, but we're kind of in a gap here. I'm sure the Lord's teaching us something. And so when we're talking about turning vision into reality and leadership, I think, why is this so hard? And just, if you have some comments about it, that'd be welcome.
And your question is, why is it hard to turn vision into reality, or
why is it so difficult? It's kind of like there must be some spiritual thing behind it or something to find the right campaign director who's willing to travel around the world and set up evangelistic campaigns.
Yeah.
And, this has been a lot harder than we thought.
Yeah, it is very challenging. I hear the question a lot about how do we find directors and things like that. And I would say there is no training school, obviously, for that. But one of the things that I would say to that end is to find young, ambitious leaders, young people, and risk with them. Let them risk with you. And if you do so, be intentional about how you walk with them and disciple them. And in my opinion, that is the best training ground then for them to elevate into the work that God has called you. And so, for instance, in your scenario, that opportunity where they can see it modeled, secondly, they can go out with a lot of reporting back, and thirdly, then they could go out and advance it for the ministry on its behalf. And I think that it is challenging because it's often a unique dynamic of fundraising, civic and church relations. It's also leadership. And all of those things then combined start to bring you into that place of, gosh, can we have individual people who contain all of that, or do you have to collectively put people together in a team to elevate it? And so it's something for consideration. Is it an individual, or is it a small group of people that can go out two by two, or three of them, or something of that nature? Hopefully that helps. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah.
So, what do you do with the situation with very specifically? I lived in Australia, worked in Australia for years. I've been in ministry for 14 years now. But every time, so I have a vision, but I've never met anyone from Australia who's doing ministry in Australia. So, what do you do with that? How do you even start with like an on-ramp to try to figure out?
Yeah, I would suggest a couple things. One, and the first one is to lay out a basic plan. I'm not even of the mindset you have to have some strong, huge business plan or ministry plan in that context, but start to write that vision out and then start to share that vision with your closest friends and then get to their friends and start to widen that path and that circle towards where you might end up experiencing, encountering other contacts that are doing that type of work. And that as you do, then you can even build in maybe an opportunity for a quarterly or monthly, or depends on what it is, opportunity for them to even maybe speak into it or for you to bring updates and then continue to grow that so that the arms of it can reach out into these new spaces, but also hopefully align and bring in new relationships and different trajectory towards what God has given you. So that would be just, a couple of the steps that I would probably take. Any follow up on that? Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's a starting point.
Yeah, it's hard because you really have to turn the soil. And I've seen that take a short amount of time, and I've seen it take a long time.
Well, and it's hard too. The best way is the Jesus way, to be relational, to find other believers or people that know you that then know people over there. I've gone down that road, and some people have been doing ministry for years, but it's just this canned response. Oh, we'll go check out our website, and we'll get back to you. Well, the website's 2 years outdated.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't do much. So.
Yeah. And that's where, with today's technology, I would probably use my social media channels to kind of just voice what my vision is. Secondly, I would actually go find out who's doing it and pick the top 3 to 5, who's doing it the best, or just if I can find anything, just because the web enables us to do that. And then what I would do is I would aggressively go after them. Meaning, like in ministry, sometimes, and I won't put this on you, but sometimes I feel like, I don't want to push them too much, or I don't want to offend, or things like that. But on the flip side, I would also verbally say, there are times when I've done that, where it's just, I'm going to be aggressive, because this is what God called me to do. So that ministry is doing it super well. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to get my foot in their door. Hey, what are you doing over there? I'm going to fly over and see you. I'll be there this day. Who can I meet with? And just literally be aggressive about it. Not in a jerk sort of way, of course, but I don't think we're going to do that in this room. I think we're going to happen differently.
Yeah, but excuse me, maybe I just want to contribute to what he said.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I feel that in as much as the different methodology is very important, we need people who are actually doing the same kind of thing, for example, there is still one thing which I strongly believe, and that's what we've been able to experience on our own part of the ministry in different countries. I believe that the more you sharpen your gift, the more you spend time in prayer club, in the place of prayer, in the place of the Lord and stuff, and you sharpen your gift, you become like a burning torch, like a light on a mountain. People definitely will gravitate towards you. So, depending on the kind of ministry, of course, which you are running, for example, I want to see one of the things you can do a lot is to, in as much as people are so needed, give yourself a lot to the place of prayer. Just go before God and pray and spend time in prayers and fasting. Well, we Africans, we do that a lot. You give yourself to prayers and fasting a lot, and you get to a point where you become like a shining light. And you could just say a word, for example, and I don't know, it's different in this part of the world, but you know, when you spend more time with God and you throw in yourself to the completely, the fact that God didn't want you to take into realms of the spirit, and before you discover, people are just gravitating towards you. Even resources, they are gravitating towards you. That's one thing which I believe that irrespective of where you are in the world, if you will do that strategy, the results are always phenomenal. Always. Get to the point you realize by strength you cannot prevail, man can't help you, and God will call people this, then you put me through. And the more you throw in yourself to that, God will use you to do mighty things. Bible says people came to seek Lazarus, people came back to life. And when they came and saw Lazarus, they joined the ministry of Christ. So I think that's one thing which I think should be very important.
Thank you.
What do you do, the McFarland crew? Is you work with evangelists? Are you a ministry or a for-profit?
I'm a for-profit. Yep.
So you work with ministries and businesses.
Yep. So
are you marketing or?
Am I marketing?
A promoter, a marketer?
No. That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure it out, to be honest, a little bit. So my last 15 years, I have directed events. So 7 years with Luis Palau. So everything from beginning to end, from going to a city, launch it, work with the chairman, work with the churches, work with the mayors, raise the funds, build the stage, bring in the talent, execute the program, do the follow-up, and then exit a city and go to the next one. So I've done that for 15 years.
And these are all practical steps to what you're talking about doing.
The process that I laid out for you today is moving from a high-arching level as a leader down into the practical. And the idea about all of it is that when we start campaigns or we start with our vision or we start whatever it is, there's a tremendous amount of zeal in our hearts. It's just like, I'm going for it. Like, we got this, right? And then sometimes, why I put in here, our energy can drop. Leverage your adrenaline when it's there. Begin to map it out. Then start to look at the pain points. Why is that preventing me from having that zeal for my vision that God has given me? And so, yeah, the leadership here, that, and I've studied leadership for a long time as well. I just believe that it is the crux that if we elevate the leadership that we bring and the relationships that we forge, the results are exponentially stronger than just the fact of sometimes we just put our heads down and we just try and blaze through. You know, you can do that.
So
thank you. Yeah. So yeah, so I mean, I think to clearly answer your business, January 1st of this year, I stepped down from Pulse, which was really hard to do because I love pulse. I love Nick and the team there. And for those of you that know him, great. If you don't, no problem. But I thought I would stay the rest of my life there. But God began to say, what I have taught you over 15 years, I want you to use to pour into others and what I'm doing in the world today. And so, like, I stand in this room humbled by all of you because I know that God has granted visions. And if these help, I would suggest they are best approaches. And then that comes from, again, being with both Luis, which was a tremendous honor, but also growing Pulse from reaching, you know, just 150,000 young people a year face-to-face and a $750,000 organization to a $10 million organization face-to-face with a million young people a year. And so the learnings here are from the hard knocks of all of that. So now I basically, am just out to pour into, support, and otherwise engage with what God's doing in the world. So, yeah. Other questions? All right. Let's model this sucker once, huh? Give it a shot. Anybody? I gave you a warning. All right, Brewer. Let's do it. Okay. Come on up, bro. You can see. We'll see. You guys got a new model going about. Which is awesome. All right. I'm going to keep it really fast, so forgive me if I interrupt or do some of these things, but I just want you guys to see the practical because I think this will help you consider what it looks like for each of you. So I appreciate you diving in, Josh. It'll actually probably help me a little bit too because I know you guys some. So the adrenaline. And when I say this, again, I'll go back to the fact that there's a vision, there is a passion. Give me the 60-second new vision for LifeLight.
Our vision statement is making the church house seven walls with a life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's kind of our why we do what we do.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to take the message, like this is the passion, the fuel that drives you. Is that accurate? You got some team here? Yeah? You don't have to nod your heads because the boss is here. I got you covered. I got your back. Okay? All right. Okay, cool. Okay, what's this mean? What does this look like when you go to the office tomorrow that keeps you excited when you walk into the office? Apart from that, don't tell me that. Any of the team can answer too. I won't just put it on Josh.
Just knowing that there's every day there's going to be a new opportunity to share the gospel.
It's good. It's good. Tell me about the culture. What's it like when you go in? Young, except for Josh. I like it. What else? It's young. What else? What describes it?
I would say young. I'd say our team is also very, very talented. And this isn't a shock to anybody on our team because we're going through a lot. So now our team is very, very talented. But what we're lacking is this exact thing of what you've been good at, Chris, and what you've modeled for me for a number of years is, how does that talent go on paper and in a calendar, and how do we implement that talent? That's our biggest thing.
Yeah.
We fix all of LifeLight, and we could just take this.
And that's going to be up to you. You're the leader, bro. Okay, so this is good. Okay, so young, talented team.
Yes.
Every day a new chance to share the gospel.
Passionate,
which is good. So really now, okay. So it's talented, it's there. Now, what is the misery that you need to look at? I heard you actually just say some of it, frankly.
Yeah.
It's talented. How do I activate the talent? Might be one. That's like painful almost, that you're probably feeling like you can't yet. Is that fair?
Very, very committed, but just as far as taking that commitment and being more strategic with it, because at times it feels like, man, we're working so hard at this, but are we really accomplishing what we're called to do? And is the effort to be going out there?
It's good. So you're wondering if you're spinning your wheels at times. Yeah. Anything else that just pops top of mind? We don't need to dig too deep right now, but like.
I think communication also can be a big challenge. I'm a visionary. I'm not a very good communicator, so I don't do a good job sometimes of communicating that vision to the rest of the team and what needs to happen. And so that can be a
Yeah, that's good. And that's a really good observation and honest feedback. Thank you for just being so transparent with that. Because as visionaries, as leaders, you've got to transfer that into your team. If you don't slow down to do that, you will not actually be able to accomplish that full vision. And it's a critical path. And I think just that you said that, Josh, dude, you're already on it and paying attention to it. And it's good. Because when we name it, all of a sudden, again, it becomes this aspect in front of us that we need to pay attention to. And so I think that these are effective. And what I would say about it is that when we're working hard but not nailing it, this is where I would even start to jump down and bring number six up into number two. Okay, what do we need to prune? And being okay with that. And man, that's hard. Because again, sometimes it's people, like in ministry, like firing somebody is like almost taboo, it feels like. But the reality is, man, sometimes it's doing them a favor too. It sounds super harsh. But like, I only say that because that's one of the, like, probably the hardest things to do, really. Like some of the other things, we can stop habits and stuff like that. But in that. And so I think these are good realizations. And I think on that hard work side of things, something to consider is, if this is our present misery, what is it teaching us to do differently so that we spend less time on it? And by that, I mean changing the habits and maybe even spending that analysis opportunity to adjust. It's really hard for all of us to slow down. Why? Because we always have to fundraise, and we're always then going on to the next event or whatever it might be. And we don't give ourselves a window to think. I do that all the time. I still do that today and struggle, and so I try and pay attention to that for myself. So consider that for LifeLight. Self-image side of things, addressing that, again, I'm talking about kind of that resiliency, the harsh judge. What are you guys judging yourself on right now? What are you guys looking at and saying, man, it's just not good enough, or I don't know.
Biggest struggles on the surface is finances. That would be a huge thing, because everybody in this room would probably say that. But I think as we dig deeper into that, our biggest struggle is not finances, but is how to communicate what we're doing, what the mission of LifeLight, what the mission of our organizations are to the masses. Because, you know, the saying goes, God's not short of cash. There's people out there that will give to it if we can get better at communicating that. And that is, that's through social media, through on stage at our events, through anytime we're in front of people one-on-one or in a large group, how can we get better at communicating what we're doing? And that also goes hand-in-hand with the gospel, because that's what we're all here to do, is communicate the gospel as effectively as we can. So that's where I get hard on myself, so I'm like, oh man, we could have done this or this different, or we should have done this, and then you come to things like this and you see the Plow family and you're like, come with a long list of things of like, man, I want to do it the way they did because they're one of the best at it, but God's not called us to be that. So it's like, that's some of the struggle I think that I have on our team. Our team can maybe answer it a little differently.
Anything from the rest of the team?
What did you say?
Well, I know that he's got some of the rest of his team here. I was just curious. Do you have a question, Bob? Yeah, go for it.
I know I hear finances a lot, and I'm teaching a seminar on discipleship the other day, so that's what I'm focusing on. But if you are having a particular hard time with your finances, I could probably be of some help. We've had to raise millions of dollars to start our ministry with the Environment for Christ, and I got taught by Campus Crusade how to do it, and they did a great job. And then we've expanded that way beyond one person to So anyway, I'd be glad to help a little bit if it fits in time schedule.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That's good. That's good. And I think that's what we need to be here doing for one another. I didn't put that up there because I think that that is a common thing. But what I did put up there is that I heard that you're just saying judging yourselves for not communicating the vision well enough. And the reason I highlighted that and why I would want the whole team to pay attention to it is continue to do what you can to elevate your ability to communicate the vision. Recognize that that is a harsh judge, and it's okay to want to do it better. Also, I believe that God wants you to have grace for yourself because He has it for you to say, okay, this is where we are right now, and we're pleased. We're not settled that we're going to stay there, but we're pleased. And so I just want to point that out. So kind of as we're working through this process for like this scenario, pay attention to that and absolutely address it. That's why I have address it, but don't let that judge condemn you because you are advancing the mission. You are doing it in very strong ways. And I can say that even personally because I've seen it. Like it's advancing quite well, even with a transition in generations and leadership. So as that, what are your stretch goals? Your top, let's say, one or two right now. A risk, but not overwhelming.
Well, we have a goal to do, so those of you guys that don't know, we did a big, massive festival for many, many years, but we just broke that up and are doing a lot of smaller festivals all throughout the region. We have a goal to do 50 festivals, annual festivals, in 7 years, that there'll be 50 festivals happening every year. Within 7 years, right now I think we did like 13 last year, around the same number this year, 10 or 13. So we're looking to grow that to 15 in the next 7 years.
So that would be by 2026.
Yeah,
7, 6, 7,
yeah.
Is your audience youth or is it every age?
It's every age, but we also do another aspect of that. Most of it is in country. We do have an international side of the ministry that still operates, but that goal is particular to the United States and to every age.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, and you guys are obviously on your way. I mean, the 13 of 50 is a great percentage. And so like now, let's see if you can tap in. Okay, so resources, like that's your goal. You're going for it. It's a critical one. What are kind of your relational, informational, other resources, just maybe the top 3 to 5?
Well, a large part of being able to do that is in every city, we like to say around the office, we want a Kelby or a Daryl because both of them are here, but in every city we want a city director that's local, so we'll have a person on staff that directs all those festivals, but every city needs a local person there that helps with the fundraising, helps with the planning and coordinating the event. So that's the big part. There's building relationships and finding the right people in every community.
Okay.
Because we could possibly do it all on our own.
Yep, so a director in each city. Give me your next two.
A director in each city. What would you guys say are some of the others? I think that's the biggest one. Director in each city.
You have your creative resources, you have your human resources otherwise, you have equipment, gear, you have, what else are you looking for? You have the website you want, you have the social media channels you're hoping for.
Well, social media would be a big thing of growing that platform. That'd be the next thing we want to do.
Anything else right now off the top of the head? It's all right if not. We'll just keep blazing through. The idea that we're trying to model, and again, I think this is even just pointing towards LifeLight. The rest of you, I hope you're thinking about what it looks like in your ministry to advance and answer these questions. But like, assembling the relational resources, a director in each city, I mean, that's significant. And that would be a powerful way to advance a vision that is relational, but it's far beyond your own scope and scale. And obviously it's going to be messy because it's people, but it's the right trajectory because God will use them in their space. And then obviously pulling together that social media platform growth is very much an attractive way to continue to filter out. And so if you set these, and again, we're doing it very quickly, we'd probably be a little more methodical with more time, but it's critical then to your path. That those directors, if you don't have them, I'm guessing you don't get your 50. Is that fair? Is there anything then, as you say, we want these 50, we're going to assemble directors, we're going to do social media at a different level, anything that you need to prune? It's kind of a hard one to say sometimes when there's other team in the room, but...
Well, I'll listen to my name. I would definitely say yes. And being able to run more lean financially, so that that goes through everything from programming to admin to events. Just being able to run more lean and spend money more wisely is a huge part of that. Sometimes in the staff notes, someone will come to me and go, "Hey, we want to spend money on this thing." And I'll go, "Oh, okay, great. We'll get approved for that." And then 6 months later, they'll come. Someone else will come to me and go, "Hey, this thing is garbage. We should throw this thing out." And say, "Okay, look at that." And I should, because staff knows that has been a big discussion lately. It's like, but things like that, spending money more wisely on things that will invest more into our why we're doing things, and less money on our how of what we're doing, which is the events and the programming and all that stuff. That makes sense.
So what I just heard you say too, Josh, that I put up here, is it's obviously still a little small, but prune items that don't allow time to better think through the right tools is some of the things. Like, again, coming back to that space, are you really providing, and this is for all of us, are you providing yourself time to think through what you really want? And not all tools are obviously going to last forever, and I know that not even Josh is saying that, but have you thought through which ones you really want? To spend a little more money on something that's better, or otherwise, even train or do things like that. And so, as we kind of then progress the obstacle side, what are your top obstacles? Even one to
if you're going
two.
Around the country, there's different cultural interests and contexts depending on the state or the city, or whether it's a massive city like New York City versus Ames, Iowa or something. So yeah. Tons of logistics to that.
I'll let Corey answer too, but I would say one is, and we've done a much better job at this, and that's partially because of your advice to me, was how to partner and treat more like a campaign to engage churches. So Jolena on staff here has done awesome at that this last year, but that's always another obstacle is how do we get the churches on board with what we're doing, because we can do it, we do it without them, but nowhere near as effective and nowhere near as impactful for the long term.
Yeah.
The churches we have on board, the better. So.
Yeah.
What would you say, Corey?
But to go along with that too is, when we're branching out outside of our home base region, you have that network of no matter what comes up in front of you, you have that buddy or you have that cousin or that farmer to call that you know down the road or that somebody on your staff has. So that obstacle of creating that new network in that different culture, that's not the norm in what we're used to in the upper Midwest, but to be able to create that no matter where we're at.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else you'd put out there?
I say time can also be an obstacle. Learning when to say yes to things and when to say no, and when our team is being overworked or stretched too thin, that can be hard. Because at Life, we're never short.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's good. And it's real. I mean, there's, you know, these are good. I mean, relationships can be obstacles. We already talked about that some today. That's good. And then, you know, the churches, obviously God established the church. But I tell you what, one of the biggest heartaches I faced over the years, and probably the most angering at times, was when you go to a church and they tell you, like, oh, we're not really interested in that. And I'm like, what? You're not interested in going out and sharing the gospel?
we don't have bikers in our church. We're not
interested
in that.
Ah.
So believe me.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, and also it totally depends on the size of the church you go to. If you go to the really big ones, they might say that. But if you go to some of the smaller ones, who they're looking for things, but they don't have enough people, but they want to collaborate. It's finding that right fit and the right size of church, you know, the right vision for the pastor.
Can be some of that, sure. Yep. It's good. So we've kind of looked at some of this. Now, you know, again, talking LifeLight, it's like, man, new opportunity to share the gospel every day, young, talented, passionate team. So like some of the right resources are there, right? And right now it's like, man, we're working hard, but it's refining that talent. So I'm just going to synthesize this here. And so in doing so, it's like, okay, we need to get our young, talented team taking that zeal for sharing the gospel every day, prepared and ready, and advancing on our communication, because we're judging ourselves for that. But right now, this is the season we're in. Let's give ourselves some grace. Let's not let that judge condemn us, but let's let that judge compel us into a new space. You know, you've got your goals set. They're significant. It's really awesome. Super exciting, actually, you know, to see the impact that can have and just actually advancing. Then as you go into each city and you pour into them, using the resources of a director in each city, but building that up. But then the tools that you have, that social media platform, you guys have a great track record and known name too. That I think is solid and growing. And then essentially trying to be efficient. What is not allowing time to train, prepare, not spin the wheels, and maybe paying attention to that. And then really you're looking at some of the obstacles. You can advance on those and train those. And so then that leads me to kind of that final one on 8. As you kind of hear all of that, what is the one thing or maybe two things that when you leave here, you guys want to go back and do as a team? And I know I've got the two leaders, so I'm kind of pinning you two down. What are you going to do about it?
I would say, and part of it is with the change, we have, you know, just recently gone through a lot of changes at LifeLight, and I'm really excited because we're at that moment now where the pendulum is swinging, or we're starting to swing up, and now we have a very talented team that we can build on now. So that part is very, very exciting that we can build it, but how do we get to where we're focusing more on the why we're doing something and the how we're doing something. And we've just recently started being able to do that more efficiently, so that's very exciting.
Yeah. So can I suggest, you guys pray about it, but I'll even just as a buddy and a friend of mine, you guys need to go back to South Dakota, and before the fall gets too busy, or find a window, and you need to do a team retreat. And to plan that retreat over 3 days, everybody goes away, and then work through this. Because what you said is that you're poised, but you need to take the time to allow that to advance you. And so, like, when I put it on this calendar, like, I would say for you, go back, build this out, do a team retreat so that everybody can pray together, the vision can be cast, the team is then aware of these things, but help solve the problems. And you start to struggle through those problems in a way that you're collectively arm in arm advancing against them to see 50 cities by 2024. I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe that's too much of a stretch, but maybe not. I think you guys could do it. So that's that. I'm going to stop there. There's only 5 minutes left. There is a feedback form. So please, again, any thoughts, good, bad, otherwise, tell better jokes. That's great. Any final questions? All right, can I pray for you all? And then you can fill out the form and, yeah, glad to have you. Jesus, thank you for this group. Thank you for all these leaders. Thank you for the visions you've implanted in their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and that you would carry their vision forward, Lord, that they as leaders, God, would take steps of faith and you would meet them in those steps, and that, God, you would not only have them do the work you have called them to do, but, God, give them friends, family, team, God, that is alongside them to encourage them and support them in this work. In Jesus' name, amen.